We're on? We're rolling? Hey, let's get this thing going. We haven't been here in a while.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, at least, what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Something like that. Yeah. Maybe more.
I want to say.
1 week we did, we had some filming one day, and there was like, we were turfing and
whatever. Well, the first time I think we did was the turf day?
Something like
turf
that.
Turf week? Yeah.
So things just kind of been popping up. Weeks. So it's been even a couple weeks since we've done it, but we're kind of back in the mix again with it.
Mm-hmm. I think this one would be kind of fun. Or fun for me. Maybe not you, but...
We haven't done one since probably... It's probably like the week before the CrossFit Games.
It was probably that week.
I don't think we've done one since then.
I seriously think it's been at least 3 weeks, maybe even four.
Yeah, it might have been about a month or so. Because CrossFit Games were like the first or
July.
Second weekend in August.
July, right? Or August?
It was August something.
It was August.
It might have been like the
maybe like August.
First or second weekend of August.
7th or something. It's been at least 3 weeks for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're just going to kind of ask a little Q&A, right?
Yeah, I think that's the format today. I think we're going to go, I don't know any of these questions.
You have no clue. You have no clue. We're going to start off with a bang.
How many are we doing?
I'm just going to kind of piddle paddle until...
So no number.
There's no number.
Okay, so we don't know how far we're going.
We might be doing 5, we might be doing 10.
So Q&A style, rapid fire. I mean, we'll try to keep it 3 to 5 minutes, but if we go longer, that's fine. A little shorter, that's fine, but... just kind of randomized questions, all fitness related, or
fitness related slash like kind of gym related slash like you as like a boss.
Okay, that should be interesting.
So it'd be fun. First question. We're gonna start it off by saying, if you had to go back to 2012. So okay. Pre-kids.
This is okay. Well. Go ahead.
Right. So,
depending on the question, we'll kind of
go back to 2012. Would you still go through this whole entire process to get to where you are now as a gym owner? Like, would you be willing to go through all the...
Like, would I change anything?
That's what I'm saying. Like, would you be willing to backtrack and just go through this whole journey all over again?
No, I mean, I wouldn't change anything the way it is. I can't really complain on... how things have turned out, right? I mean, it's kind of one of those things you look back on it and you wish you would have known some of the things you don't know now. But I mean, that just comes with the territory of mm-hmm. being a young entrepreneur at the time, buying into a business and then taking over a business. But I mean, I'm doing what I always wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah.
Because you can even ask my parents when, before pre-CrossFit, it was... Ideally, it was going to be some type of fitness-related thing. Owning a gym was be kind of like the gold star at the time. And it just happened to fall into the lap at the time, going into late 2012 into 2013. And there's no way it was kind of right time, right place kind of scenario, because there's no way in hell I could do that now, especially having kids. Like, it really is true, because I'm here having this conversation with Kaylee when we were thinking about doing it, and I'll never forget, she's sitting down and basically saying kind of those words where, you know, we're already kind of broke, we're poor college kids, and you're never going to get an opportunity like this probably ever again, or if you do, we're going to be either too far advanced into your career, we're going to have kids, there's going to be too many obligations
mm-hmm.
for us to take that financial risk of going out on your own and opening up a gym. And so it worked out otherwise, because it could be extremely difficult doing that now having a family.
I was going to say, that would be like the next question.
A lot more responsibilities.
Would you be willing to do it?
Now? Like if I was in the, so basically if I was working at like a normal 8 to 5.
8 to 5. Normal 8 to 5, and then you're like, all right, I want to go.
I assume with the context that you're making a decent salary, you feel comfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
Assume those kind of situations. Yeah, there's no way.
No way?
There's no way.
No.
Just because it's one of those things where it's running a gym in 2 degrees. It's yeah, obviously, you know, I do okay for myself and everything else, right? And there's definitely other job opportunities I can make a lot more money doing what I'm doing now, no doubt about it. But at the same time, you know, when I first started being a gym owner, I mean, there would be months where I didn't really take any money home. Yeah. You know, like, or very enough to pay for some groceries, you know, maybe a couple, but like not a whole lot, if anything at all. And I don't know if I would be willing to do that now. To do that. And to a degree, you know, and it's not unique. Every business itself is hard to run. It's not unique to me by any means. I would say that one of the more difficult things with the business that we are in is that you're trying to sell a product that is not a physical product to sell.
Yeah.
So you're not selling.
You're almost selling like a future product.
To a degree, yeah. It's kind of like that, where you're selling an image or a thought, and a feeling, than more so an actual physical product, compared to if you're selling apparel or
cars
or physical things that you can actually put your hands on and instantly get that instant gratification of that sell right then, and they can physically see the product and touch the product. You know, or maybe it's compared to like physical therapy or a dentist office where we're getting you out of pain, we're fixing your teeth. You know, that's a little bit easier sell compared to saying, I'm trying to probably sell you something you kind of don't want to do in the first place. You're kind of forcing yourself to come here. You're really not all that passionate about this. And I'm going to need you to do a lot of work and a complete lifestyle change all the time for you to really reap the benefits of the product.
That's true.
That's a really hard sell to kind of give to somebody comparatively otherwise. Like, I can go to, you know, physical therapy and like, hey, in 6 months we're going to be better. But you come to physical therapy consistently, right? And you come 3 times a week and we're good. But you come into the gym, I need you to come 5 days a week. I need you to take care of nutrition. I need to make sure you're sleeping. I need to make sure you're drinking water. You're not going out partying all the time.
You're not just selling the gym. You're selling like so many other aspects.
A completely reskinning a 2.0 version of somebody that you're trying to get somebody that went over for that. And that's a really hard sell to come by. So that would be the only thing I would, you know, sometimes I think to myself like, why the hell would you want to do that, you know? But I mean, starting with something that you're obviously passionate about and you love a lot is,
that helps you kind
it
of
helps out a ton.
Keep you going and like drives you up.
Comparatively, it'd be really hard for me to go and open up a business that I wouldn't be that passionate about. Because I mean, it really does not require a lot of time and energy and thought. And if you didn't, you got to start with that, obviously, to start the process.
If you don't love it, I imagine it's super hard to spend the hours and like the effort and I'll put all that in.
Well, I think that's why.
Unless you just know, like, it's going to pay off in the end, which you never really do open.
Well, you never know for sure, but I think that's why a lot of CrossFit gyms have failed, or is because a lot of people do it as a hobby, and it can't be just a hobby. It has to be something that you live and breathe. And if you do it half-assed, then it's always going to be a half-assed business.
Sure.
And I think that's why a lot of them have failed, is because of that aspect, for sure.
Aspect.
Yeah.
So kind of staying on the CrossFit realm real quick. Let me see. Where we go? Where we find it? There we go. What would be your biggest pet peeve, for one, just inside of a CrossFit gym? So biggest pet peeve inside the gym, right? Could be anything. And then two, what is your biggest pet peeve with CrossFit as a whole?
Okay, so my question for the first question is, what kind of pet peeve are we talking about? Are we talking about
let's say a member pet peeve.
So what a member does.
Yep. We'll go off that the first one.
Like the number one?
Number one.
What's my number one on the
number
list?
Number one.
I think probably, which, you know, it's one of those things that I say it out loud, people are going to instantly start doing
100%.
100%.
That's the juice.
And it's definitely one of those things I've tried to learn as a, like, doing more proactively. Just because somebody says something to you, you can, even though you might initially feel a certain way about how you perceived it when they said it, you can always kind of like zone out and not react on those feelings that you initially, somebody says something to you or does something, like, gets you so pissed off and annoyed. I would probably say that my biggest red button would be when somebody says something along the lines or does something along the lines. Let's say, for instance, and which this has happened before in the past, where let's say somebody takes chalk and there's chalk in the fuck out of their hands.
Okay.
And they get that shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. And in the process, you know, as a coach, you're like, hey, man, like, we just clean the floor, try to keep it over the bucket. And the response to that is, well, I pay for it. I can do what I want.
I knew this.
Hell no, that's not how this shit
that's
works.
That's not how this is going to work, man.
This is not how this works. Funny. You don't go into fucking Walmart and throw everything off the shelf or dump your grocery cart and be like, well, I'm paying for it so I can do what I want with
somebody's
it.
Somebody's got to come clean this up.
Or you don't open up a box of cereal and throw the cereal everywhere and be like, well, I'm paying for the box of cereal. What does it matter?
That's true. You don't
do that anywhere else. And you're not going to do that here. Like, your membership is not that important to where you feel like you can shit all over my stuff and then be like, well, I paid for it. Hell no, that's not how this works. Like, you're not paying to come in here and so you can do what the hell you want when you want to do it. That's not what we're paying for, whatever. And so I'll probably say that's the...
I had a feeling you were going to go with that.
Yeah, that's probably the number one for sure.
Okay. And then with CrossFit as a whole, what would be your biggest pet peeve?
Like, as CrossFit as a methodology? Like,
or you could say you could go methodology, you could just go how they, like, portray themselves as, like, as a CrossFit in general.
Man, I'm trying to think of anything off. Because, like, I don't necessarily have a whole lot of beef with CrossFit. Like, a lot of gym owners have a beef with CrossFit headquarters because they feel like they don't do a whole lot for them. And that's not what we are. You're an affiliate owner. You're not a franchise owner.
You're just paying to have CrossFit.
You're paying to have the CrossFit that's name. And if you want to be a franchise, if you want CrossFit to be a franchise, well, that means they're going to have to do a lot more than what they're doing now. And you're going to pay a lot more of a fee every year to be at a CrossFit gym, I guess is what you could say. And so I understand that in the way of like what I'm paying for is the CrossFit name. And no, not really a whole lot outside of that realm. I think back in the day, you know, when the whole Greg Glassman thing was going down, you know, during COVID and even maybe like pre-COVID, I didn't really understand the whole entire aspect of, like, they were kind of showing like these 80-year-old people and they're in their living room lifting water jugs.
Water jugs and sitting on the couch. And
yeah, I really didn't understand that whole entire aspect, to be honest. But when it comes to CrossFit itself, I think a little bit to a degree, they're maybe on a exercise science standpoint that they're a little bit boxed in on some of their thinking protocols, I think, to a degree. Okay. Meaning that, you know, when you go to a level one or you learn about the CrossFit methodology of like programming, right? CrossFit.com or CrossFit headquarters is still preaching the same thing they did 20 years ago, where, and this is old school style of programming, where you would have an actual, for example, like just a strength day. So you would do a 5x5 deadlift or three, 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 two, 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 one, one, one strict press. And that would be the whole entire workout for that day. And the reality of that aspect is that nobody wants to come in to a gym and just strict press for
five,
an hour.
Six, five, yeah.
That's just not what people want to do. They want to feel like they're moving the whole time. They're breaking sweat. They're getting fitter. And I know even when I was a customer of just doing CrossFit and I loved fitness, that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just do one singular deadlift and be done for the day.
We didn't go to the gym just for saying, all I'm going to do is just go back squat and leave.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a time and place, like, for instance, if you want to do like the CrossFit total, you could make a whole entire day of the CrossFit total and that would be fun. But to just do one lift, I don't think is very advantageous that, especially on a business side of things. And their argument is that, you know, if you're coaching it well enough and you're explaining things and providing enough intensity to resting enough that it should take up the whole hour. Okay, and I understand that argument. But also show me John and Jane who want to come in and listen to you to explain the deadlift for 45 minutes. Yeah. Yes, they want to know how to do it properly, want to know how to do it safely, but they don't need a 45-minute seminar on the deadlift. They're like, give me the basic stuff that I need to get this thing done, that I can be safe and I can do this properly and get a good workout, and then let me move on. And that's not what they want. And so I think that is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. And then also the aspect of what was I going to go with that? I kind of went mind blank for a second. Like, that always kind of pissed me off a little bit. And then obviously the fact that they talk about how they don't like having a strength piece followed by a WOD.
They don't like that?
Or say the randomization of strength is what I don't like. This is kind of where I was going with that. I'm sorry. And Yeah, there is some aspects there to where if you do enough fitness and you do it long enough, you do enough intensity, that, yeah, you're going to see some improvements in numbers, mm-hmm. right? But there's not going to be many exercise science things out there saying, well, if you randomly do a heavy back squat every 4 months, that you're going to get stronger that way. There's not a whole lot of lying evidence to support that,
true.
Right? Now, is there a possibility? Sure, if you're squatting on a regular basis and performing things at intensity and you're mixing up programming to where you're doing light days, heavy days, low reps, high reps, then yeah, you could possibly still increase your one rep max back squat. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, I like to have a little bit more of a systemized progressive overload approach to where people are getting, from a week-to-week basis, you're able to progress them safely and effectively because of the fact that, for instance, if I just go and do a heavy back squat, well, if you haven't put anything over, let's say, for instance, your best back squat is 315, and I haven't put anything on my back more than 225, well, I feel like that's maybe not necessarily the most safe thing either to go, so now go to try to PR at 300 plus pounds when you haven't done anything over 225, that your maybe your midline's not stable enough. You're not familiar with the movement enough to be able to do it properly or safely, especially somebody new coming in. Comparatively, like, okay, we do back squats every Monday for 4 to 6 weeks in a progressive, safe manner. You're going to build more motor control patterns, which is going to keep you safer, and we can progressively get layering more intensity each week and not just slap it all at one time. And I feel like that's, in my opinion, the more proper way to do about doing it. And honestly, doing it in a manner that's paired up with a WOD or things that are also safe and done in appropriate class structure. But that's also one thing that kind of a little bit irks me with CrossFit is that they're almost anti against that of the, because you know they say like the unknown unknowable, which is fine to a degree, but when I think when it comes to pure strength training, I don't think that's the best.
You'd like to have more of a like strategic approach to it.
Especially when it comes to something like that. Yeah, for sure.
I like that. So next one, we're rolling into this one. We're gonna be on a Thursday theme real quick.
Okay.
So something that I've noticed with members.
It's question number three, right?
Yeah. So something I've noticed with members that come to the gym is a lot of newer members or people that haven't been doing CrossFit for a long time end up showing up on Thursdays way more regularly than people that have been doing CrossFit for a long time.
Okay.
All right. And they just don't show up on Thursdays. It's kind of like the international CrossFit rest day, right? And I wanted to kind of hear your opinion on why you think that is. Because in my opinion, I think Thursdays is probably one of the better days out of the week, a lot of the times.
And I'd have to concur with that in the way that the way we kind of program Thursdays is we're kind of doing things to help build stability and strength in some of the movements that you care more about, if that makes sense. So where, for instance,
kind of like I think about it as like the longevity day of the week.
Yeah, so that's a good way to put it, is it helping you be able to have more volume and more intensity more regularly because of the fact you build more strength and stability in muscle groups that maybe you don't do otherwise, right? Because the other days of the week outside of Thursday are a little bit more higher intensity, more compound movements, things of that nature.
They have more of a hype around them.
And those are the things that look more fun.
Yeah.
They're more cool. People like those movements better. No doubt about it. I'm not going to say that those aren't. And those are definitely the more bang for your buck options. But instance like Thursday, just like take for instance like today when we have like ring supports and box hamstring curls. Right? We're not going to program that on a Monday workout more than likely. And be able to, for instance, build more stability with the rings can help out with your ring muscle ups or ring dips like yesterday, the ring test.
Very true.
And if that's something that you want to get or improve upon, those are things that can help you out with that, right? 100%. But people think, well, if I just do more dips, that'll help, which is partially true. But doing things like that to help out stability of the rings.
Isometric holds and those things like that.
Yeah, can help
out. Go a long ways.
Right? Or like doing isolated hamstring work, like the single leg landmine RDL or the box hamstring curl, can help out keeping a stronger deadlift.
Sure.
Maybe help out with running mechanics and stronger, more bounding mechanics. But because it doesn't look that maybe as fun or maybe it's lower intensity, people can kind of shy away from that because like, oh, it's just an easy day. I don't need to go to the gym.
Well, I always think it's so funny when we have somebody that normally doesn't show up on Thursdays, they end up showing up on a Thursday. And after the workout, they'll be sitting there and they're like, oh man, that was actually a really good workout. And I'm like, it's not like we're like giving you a cookie cutter workout on Thursday.
No, it's like, not like we're
still giving y'all a solid workout.
We're not playing patty cake.
No, like this, it's like you're gonna come on Thursdays and still get a very good workout. It's not like this bullshit hour workout.
It's one of those workouts where you're probably more than likely not gonna show up the next day feeling like you're trash from the workout. Sure. It's not one of those things. But in the moment, they're tough on their own.
But you're going to be sore in places, I think, on Thursdays, like the next day, that you probably aren't normally sore.
And the good thing about Thursdays is we don't take scores and things of that nature. So even if you needed to, you came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're like, dude, I just don't have it in me to have another intense day, which is still fine. You can still auto-regulate that. Yeah, you still auto-regulate that. And a lot of times we're building in things to make it to where maybe it's a little bit more low intensity, which still has a purpose.
For sure.
When you're doing something like a static hold or a box hamstring curl, you're not going to be like huffing and puffing during these movements. This is going to be more of a muscular burn thing, but it still has a place and time to reap benefits from those movements. Just because it's not a thruster or a deadlift or a back squat doesn't mean that it's not effective at times. It just... The reason why we don't throw those things a lot of times in workouts is because it brings the intensity level of the workouts down. Mm-hmm. And so that's why a lot of times we're a little bit more focused on higher intensity conditioning pieces throughout the majority of the week. But Thursday is programmed to be a little bit more dialed back. It still has benefits for sure, but those movements are going to be more dialed back to where the intensity is probably going to get ramped down because of it still. Yes. Yeah. But you're still going to be sweating. You're still going to be breathing.
You don't want your heart rate at 160 doing an isometric ring support.
No, like you're still going to be breathing, still going to be sweating. Like I did, I've been doing Thursday workouts for a while now, and I'm still breathing afterwards. I'm still sweating my ass off. I mean, and for me personally, I always feel, even going into Fridays, like feel better by doing something on Thursdays.
Okay.
A lot of people just take off completely on Thursdays. Me personally, I feel better when I actually move a little
just
bit.
Just move and like.
And break. So I'm not trying to like destroy myself. But I feel better the next day and feel like I'm ready to attack Friday more so because I actually more compared if I just take Thursday off.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a good thing. So next question, kind of more of a fun question. I don't really hear you listen to too many different genres of music.
Me?
Yeah, you in general. Like I know you like different music, but like you don't go to the same genre, I feel like, in a workout.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I do or don't?
Don't.
Okay.
Like, I've never noticed a pattern with you. So my question for you is, what is your preference genre of music to work out to?
For me personally?
For you personally. We'll go with that first. And I got one for you.
I actually, and maybe not as much as I used to, back in my earlier days of kind of like high school into college and even early CrossFit days for a while, and I don't know necessarily what you would consider. It's not rock. It's not like pure rock. I guess, I mean, it's definitely rock. But more things like Trapped. Okay. And things.
Like an Audioslave?
Audioslave.
Like that kind of vibe?
Those, CrossFade. Remember like CrossFade back in the day? That was more my style of workout music.
All right.
Where it's still hitting, but it's not like necessarily... hip-hoppy and like dancing.
It's music, not like hip-hop dancing, but it's not like scream at
Yeah, you that's more my natural minutes. Go-to if I'm going to work, especially if I'm maybe in the gym by myself. Like that would be maybe something I would maybe go with. That's where I traditionally have kind of been drawn to workout music-wise.
That makes sense. Like all that was kind of like popping, I guess, when you were like probably starting your like
maybe so. Like maybe rap wasn't as popular as now. I still enjoy working out the rap music still.
Yeah, like I'm not saying you don't like it, but like you don't like... Go to the YouTube, go to the iPad and search Lil Baby and put Lil Baby on for your workout.
No. I do that. I still don't mind working out to it. I pick more of that music nowadays because I know other people like it more so than me. And I don't mind it myself. I still enjoy working out to it. But I know especially the girls like that more style of music than I. And then Thursdays, like this morning, I put on Alan Jackson.
Oh, really?
You know, and so... I'm kind of like all over the place. And I even have gotten a little bit more... okay with more like the screaming rock to a degree.
Have you been?
Not Justin Shaw.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Or John Drodetti's version there. I don't mind some yelling as long as it's not the whole song.
Okay. Like if it's like a 10 to 15 second little segment.
Yeah, like Trey has some hurricane rock music that he'll have like some in there where probably 80 to 70% of the song they're they're singing like you know that work the song like Headstrong.
Yeah.
You know, like it has that kind of vibe to it, but then there's like two or three sections in it where they're like, God, like, and I'm okay with that, okay. But I just can't do the whole thing.
The whole damn thing.
I can't do that the whole song with they're constantly yelling the whole time.
I can agree with that. I guess I can agree with that.
But yeah, I mean, if I had to say like one individual, it would be more probably the early 2000s, 2010-ish rock kind of guys. Okay. Like even a little bit of God, what is the name? It's been a while since I've been able to listen to them consistently because a lot of people just don't, they're not the biggest fans of it, so I kind of forget all their names now. God, who's this? Shinedown.
Shinedown. Yeah, Shinedown.
Like Shinedown, I was a big fan of the channel, yeah. Shinedown.
Okay.
You know, Traps, Crossfade, Papa Roach, all those guys.
Shinedown still has like, I think like one newer-ish song that like I'll play like pretty mm-hmm. regularly.
Yeah.
And then lastly, you're walking up to PR your back squat or attempt to PR your back squat. What song are you putting on?
I had like one song. One pick. You can't do that to me.
Because
it always varies. It varies. Like, because I'm bad about when I get caught on a song,
uh-huh.
I'll just replay that song, bitch.
Like over and over.
And I'll just wear it the hell out. And no. then I'm like
99.5.
And then once I get to that point in time, like then it's like, okay, it doesn't have the same like effect on me anymore. Then I'll find another song to do that with. And then, you know, a couple years will go by and then I'll find that song like, oh shit, I forgot how hard the song Bangers. Went, man. if I'm bringing it back to my grassroots taste and it's still kind of like, I can see like, oh yeah, I still can vibe the song pretty good, is that song by Crossfade, that Cold song.
The what song?
Cold by Crossfade.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I can still get with that song pretty good.
That's a pretty hard one.
That one, I don't know when that one came out. That probably came out like late in high school for me. I guess it's one of the songs where a lot of people would probably hear it and like, okay, it's good, but it's not that good. I don't understand why you like it so much. I think you kind of get with these certain songs.
Certain songs like get you in the right headspace. Like
nostalgia.
Yeah.
Where it kind of brings back old feelings and memories and things of that nature. And that song is one of those songs where as I was kind of finishing out high school and kind of working out in the normal gym, that song was kind of coming out. And like that, I just really liked that song. So it brings back good old memories of me kind of getting into fitness and learning about fitness. And it just kind of brings back old memories that I really enjoy. And so it still resonates with me when I still hear it. It brings back old good memories for me. And kind of same thing with Shinedown. Like Shinedown was a real popular band at the time. And so I still remember, you know, being in the gym, listening to that song on my headphones and things kind of like that. So still, so that's the reason why I probably still really enjoy those songs. That's
a pretty good little answer right there. And then I don't know how many more you want to do, but I have a tier list for you.
Okay.
So tier list one, and then I have another tier list. One tier list is going to be for protein flavor. So your
favorite
going
protein
to,
flavor?
You're going to Planet Nutrition, Vitamin Shoppe, wherever you want. Because protein flavor.
We're talking about like a protein like powder, or we're talking about like, like a shake?
Powder.
A powder.
Yeah, because I feel like they have a lot of people hate protein flavor, but in my opinion, it's because you haven't had the right flavor or the right type of protein.
Me personally?
No, just in general as a whole. Oh, okay. That's why people hate it, because they've had it one time and it was yucky or terrible, whatever you think it is.
I was actually telling Caleb, because right now we've been dealing with this doctor for Claire's like skin problems. Mm-hmm. And so basically, for the 90 days, we're having to eliminate some food items out of her system. And then also, she has to take these two supplements, and one of those being like a protein powder with glutamine in it.
Okay.
That, like, some specialized form of protein powder, but she has to drink it. I haven't tasted it yet. Today's going to be the first day she tries it. Or if she, I don't know how well it's going to go. It's probably going to go like shit, if I had to assume.
You're just going
to
tell her it's chocolate milk.
But I can still remember the first time I had a protein shake. One of our coaches in high school, this is probably 8th grade, freshman year, because we did like the bigger, faster, stronger camps back in over the summer. And I don't remember if it was there or right around freshman year. And he gave everybody these protein shakes, and they were so god awful. I was like, I'm never drinking a protein shake for as long as I live. It was decent. I remember sitting there, I can vividly remember sitting at my house outside under like the whole outdoor garage area that we had, and sitting there just choking that thing down.
And just
every single swallow was just
miserable. I know it's bad just because you said you remember sitting in your garage drinking it.
Like, I can vividly remember that's how bad it tasted. And it took me probably it wasn't until towards the end of my high school career that I kind of got back into my mom brought me the GNC.
Okay.
And she.
So that's where I used to go.
GNC. And
like in high school.
The amount of money wasted at GNC.
Oh, dude, I used to buy so much shit.
Hundreds of dollars wasted. And that hundreds of dollars when you're that young is a big deal. But I got Muscle Tech. I got the creatine and the, which actually wasn't bad looking back on it, but it was creatine powder. But they made it, they formulated it to make it, it had more shit in there. Mm-hmm. Really, you're just buying creatine, which is this overpriced creatine and protein powder.
Okay.
And the creatine powder I remember actually really liking because like a fruity flavor, but the protein powder still was like, I had, the only reason why I took it is because I knew the benefits I was going to get from it.
Yeah.
But I had to choke it down every day after football. Like, we'd work out or something like that after football, and I would take a scoop.
So it's funny you say that, because when I first started drinking Muscle Milk, Muscle Tech was the sponsor
Muscle for, Tech.
I think, like, Jay Cutler,
mm-hmm.
Want to say.
Yep.
And I was watching, I was big into bodybuilding at that time, mm-hmm. And so I would watch Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And that was the protein.
Those old-school videos. They show him in the gym working out.
And so he'd open his pantry door, and it would just be Muscle Tech. And I was like, oh, that's the way to go. And so I remember going to GNC, buying Muscle Tech protein, and I just remember
choking it down.
So god-awful.
It was horrible.
Man. I was like, okay, this is going to be horrendous. This is what people say all the time. Mm-hmm. But then I actually had, like, a good flavor protein, and I was like, okay, this is
you ever buy changer. You remember that like Lukic and Gakic?
What?
They're bottles. I don't even remember what they were for. One was like a gold bottle, one was like a silver bottle. There's another one, and it was called Lukic Gakic and something else. I forgot even what they were. And they were horse tablets, dude.
Oh.
Humongous. You had to take like 3 or 4 of them. And once again, it was such an overpriced thing where
it was probably like $70.
The marketing behind it was obviously good. You saw it on the magazines and have all the bodybuilders. Because you just don't know what you don't know at the time, because the internet's still at the time.
Well, that was like peak marketing for bodybuilding.
Well, it was like right pre-big internet boom where people used the internet to like really scope out a lot of information at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, information was still coming out, but when you're especially like in high school and college, like you're not searching out Google for answers at the time like you do now. And I remember buying those things, and I forgot what was even in them. It was probably just a singular ingredient thing that you technically were buying that was marketed that was filled with a bunch of other shit.
Sure.
That you could have bought this really cheap supplement technically and been fine. But man, it was, I don't know if I can find it. I don't even know how to spell it. Let me see.
Because like for me, I think if I had to create a top 3 tier list for protein, if I'm going safe flavors, like safe bets, across all companies, I'm going to have to say, I feel like chocolate's got to be number one.
Well, that one's always going to be the...
it's either chocolate or vanilla, just this depending on who right you are. Here. I feel like it's going to be one of those two that you're one.
That thing right there. Yeah, oh Lukic, Gak.
Dude, that old school letter.
Like, look at that right there. That's old school. Looking.
Oh, man.
This was the package. Like, yeah, you could buy the box. Yeah, like Jay Cutler right there. And dude, this was so marketed like it's basically like steroids.
Dude, I just remember like all every
look at that. That's like the protein bottle I had.
Oh my god!
Right there, Nitro Tech is what the name of it.
Nitro Tech, dude, I remember that Nitro so Tech. Much.
Yep. Anyways, I mean, obviously, chocolate's always the simplest. That's the most easiest form to go to. That you're more than likely gonna hit on. It's the ones that are always kind of out in left field, like a cinnamon bond or. Fruity Pebbles. Those can sometimes be the best ones.
Or the worst.
Absolutely. It is a 50-50 shot on what you're going to buy.
For me, my number one is First Form Cool Mint Protein.
Cool Mint? Like cool a chocolate mint kind
it's
of deal?
Cool Mint. If you like, so I like.
Is it green or chocolate?
It's like chocolate. But it tastes like a Thin Mint, like a Girl Scout Thin
Mint. Did you ever have the like the Fruity Pebbles one that's on there?
Yeah. Okay. So we've had that one. Not bad at all. But it's
First Form seems like a pretty good every flavor is.
All I'm gonna say is, I've only had one flavor that has been bad from them, and it was my favorite. The one I thought was gonna be the best.
Which one was it?
And it was Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It was horrible.
Absolutely horrible. Like, I mean, I even tried to put it in oatmeal. Normally, if you mix it with oatmeal, like that's like your saving grace a lot of times with protein. And it was still bad. But every other flavor, man, I'm telling you, it's amazing. So good.
I need to order one from them just to try it out. But the First Form seems to be a pretty
It goes down one. Easy. Like, it's not, like, super thick. You can get the thick kind if you want it. But
I'm still old school, but Muscle Milk still goes down pretty
muscle
good
milk. Yeah, honestly, some people hate Muscle Milk.
I don't know why. I like it.
I think it's more of, like, a traditional protein flavor.
A lot of people like the what's the one with the Fairlife ones?
Fairlife. Well, that one's more like it tastes more like a chocolate milk texture
too. Yeah, and that's also a chocolate milk company.
But so that one's not bad at all. But I would definitely say
first form,
Cool Mint, love it. Number two, I'm going vanilla milkshake for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, I'm going to say, just when I want to switch it up, cookies and cream.
I mean, I'd probably say the only thing, I'm more of a naturally
vanilla. Are hard to mess up.
I'm more of naturally a vanilla guy than I am a chocolate guy. So
it used to be a chocolate, but now I'm a more vanilla guy.
I'm more vanilla guy, but vanilla can be hit and miss, as more so than chocolate.
Now, I will say this. My first protein flavor that missed for me was Muscle Tech vanilla.
It was horrible.
Horrible. Disgusting. Absolutely terrible. And so that was like, I never had vanilla again until about probably 4 years
ago. Were you ever really big on the, what's the one? You still find it like Walmart. Has like the gold standard, is it Gold Standard Whey by Optimum Nutrition?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever like those? I hated those.
You don't like them? So no, there's.
It's too watery.
So normally, we buy, like me and Sydney buy the big jug of Optimum Nutrition protein. Mm-hmm. That's the one we get. And I only get two flavors from them. Every other flavor I've not been okay with. But it's been vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream is one of the flavors.
So is there a difference between vanilla and vanilla ice cream?
The what?
Is there a difference between like vanilla and vanilla ice cream?
100%.
Okay.
If there's, so you can get their vanilla. Right now. I'm not talking about the vanilla. I'm talking about vanilla ice cream. That's exactly what it says.
So verbatim.
Verbatim. And it is good. It's good in oatmeal. It's good by itself. It's good in milk, water, whatever you like it in. We like it. And then number two is, I think it's called triple chocolate.
Not just chocolate.
They have like three different chocolates. They have like a double, a normal, and then they have this triple one. Mm-hmm. The triple one is amazing.
I can still remember in high school, maybe college, I ordered, they had, this is when you go to bodybuilding.com back in the day.
Okay.
And you could order, they had like a box of every flavor sample. Dude, they had like 20-something flavors at the time. There was like a 20-something flavor
pack. Like they came in like little packets.
Yeah, it's individualized packets, but they came with every single flavor they had. It was like 20 flavors, dude. I don't think it's that many anymore. But I remember some, I can't remember, it's been so long now, but like out of the left field ones, there had been like one or two that were pretty good. But yeah, vanilla, the only thing bad thing about vanilla is that it can be very bad. Chocolate's usually a pretty safe bet, and cookies and cream can be a little bit hit and miss as well.
For sure. 100%.
So, anyways, go ahead. Any more, or are we?
So the only other one is going to be grocery stores. Okay. Tier list grocery stores. Top.
Oh, like top tier grocery stores? Like, oh, man. I don't know.
Because I feel like that's a good one, I feel like.
I would probably say, I mean, it depends on what context or what lens you're looking at it from. I mean, if you're talking about a price standpoint, then Walmart's probably your best go-to.
Walmart, for sure.
But I would say in food selection, For quality and different options that you have, I think Kroger's probably your best bet. Rouse's isn't bad, but Kroger definitely does a better job with them.
They're more variety.
Right, Rouse's is kind of like, I remember when Rouse's was built a couple years ago, that people kind of like almost, the vibe around Rouse's, at least that I got, was almost like a somewhat like close to a Whole Foods.
So Rouse's gives me, if you were to take Kroger and then have a baby with like a Trader Joe's or like a HEB or something, mm-hmm. put them together, that's what Rouse's
But is. I feel like even Rouse's, their variety is not as good as Kroger's is.
No.
Like
no. Rouse's has more of like the, like maybe you have like this one brand that you have, like mm-hmm. Rouse's might have that. But
I feel like everything Rouse's pretty much has, Kroger has.
For
the most part, we have Rouse's brand. The only thing I really like at Rouse's now, they still do the grounded almond butter.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You like the grounded almond butter?
Dude, when you get that little, it's kind of a little pricey, but it's so much better than almond butter out of a jar. It's so much better that way.
So one thing that I love at Rouse's is, I don't get it often because if I get it, me and Sydney will eat the whole jar, is cookie butter.
Cookie butter?
Cookie butter.
What do you mean cookie butter?
So
not cookie dough.
No, it's not cookie dough. Butter? It comes in, it's in the same aisle normally as like peanut butter or almond butter or cashew
butter. So it's like peanut butter, but cookie butter.
It's cookie butter. To me, it tastes like Teddy Grahams.
I'm about to quit talking to Kale, because Kale's always a bad influence when it comes to food on me.
I am a really bad influence when it comes to food. But this shit,
cookie butter.
Good. I'm not even the person that found it. Ursula. Literally, she found it one day and then brought me some at the gym. She thought it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried it at the gym and I was like,
this is dangerous.
Going to Rouse's now. And so we tried it.
It's only at Rouse's?
I've only seen it at Rouse's.
Okay.
And it is amazing.
Cookie butter. And you know how long has it been since I've actually had like cookie dough? Just eating like raw cookie dough?
Oh, see, we can't have that at our house.
it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Man, Kaylee used to buy, she didn't, it's been a long time since she bought some, but, you know, the Pillsbury cookies that it's already, it's not like in the roll, it's in the square rectangle.
Yeah.
It's already kind of pre-cut. And yeah, that we just kind of pull them off.
Rose.
Yeah, that we don't have to like ball it up like that. It's, man, because they're basically bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. Go to work, dog.
Dude.
Go to work.
That's so bad. Like, nobody ever, you know, the warning label that you might get.
It's like, oh, you might die.
From the raw eggs. Yeah.
I ain't worried about that. but, so I have, funny you bring cookie dough, I have a vivid memory from me in my childhood, back when I used to live in Hackberry. So I was young. This is like, I don't even know how I remember this. But my mom would always buy cookie dough, and she would put it in the bottom drawer of our fridge. So easy access for my little ass, right? So I would go get it, and I would go in my room. And we had tents in our room, because we were like hunter and fisher, so we would have tents. And so we had a tent in there, and I would get my tent, and I would lock that tent up. Oh, and I would get under my cover. I would lock it up, get under my cover, and I would literally eat the whole damn thing of cookie dough. The whole thing. And dude, then my mom would be so mad. So, where's the cookie? I know you ate it. And I would deny it 100%. I'm like, I didn't eat that cookie
dough. Let me ask this. Do you eat any other cookie dough that's not like just chocolate chip cookie dough? Like, you eat like just normal cookie dough? I wouldn't think it'd feel the same.
So there's one cookie dough that I think is superior to all cookie doughs. It's a hard take right now.
It's controversial.
But it's a little controversial, but it's normal, plain old sugar cookie dough.
Just sugar cookie dough.
Sugar cookie dough.
See, I feel like the chocolate chips separate.
You cook that cookie.
You're not going to eat it.
Do not give me it. But if you give me that cookie dough, I will eat it.
What about...
I don't know why.
What about regular sugar cookies, but with like icing on top of them?
I am so picky with sugar cookies, it's ridiculous.
What is it, more of a texture thing? It's like, more, like crispiness or softness?
To me, I just don't like the flavor of a sugar cookie unless it's got enough icing on it that I can stick my finger and like my first knuckle is in the ice.
You want it that way?
It's got to be there.
Almost doughy.
Like Sicilian, because they make good cookies at the Coffee Village, mm-hmm. right? Really good cookies. And they make sugar cookies certain times of the year with icing on it. And I just can't get the sugar cookie taste out of my mouth after I eat it. And I don't like that.
So, like, you don't like their sugar cookies?
Any sugar cookie in general. Like, if it's not
cooked so you're not a sugar cookie
perfectly person. And has the perfect amount of icing, do not give it to me.
No?
Now, go to Albertsons and you buy those little cookies with the frosting on top. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you're talking about, like, the pink ones? And like, okay, yeah. Those things are... Remember having those...
So good.
Dude, this has been around for so long now.
That's a controversial take. Also, some people hate them. I'm telling you, I'll eat the whole damn thing.
I still have not yet to do it, because I remember you talking about this with Trey Ferguson, the cookie totes from Walmart, or not Walmart.
Pretty damn good.
McDonald's. You know, I have not done it yet.
That you can have fun with at the gym? Kyle James.
Kyle James like a cookie tote?
He loves him a cookie tote.
How many? Is it a dozen?
So it's a baker's dozen, so it's 13.
Is it all chocolate chip cookies, or what
all
is it?
All chocolate chip cookies. That's all it is.
I see, I'm not a... And we had this conversation the day, and you looked at me like I was a fucking idiot. I'm not a warm chocolate chip cookie
guy. Like,
kind
of like room temp?
I'm not a big chocolate chip cookie guy in general. Like, I just, even like a Chips Ahoy, I'm just not a big, it doesn't matter, but like, I don't like a goo, like, even if you cook like homemade chocolate chip cookies, and you had them sitting out, and the chocolate chips, you know, is back to a normal room temperature, like, okay. I still don't like it. I'm just not a big chocolate chip
really?
Cookie fan.
So I'm more of like I like cookies in general, but let's say you give me a gourmet cookie, and just a gourmet, beautiful-looking fudge brownie. That brownie's getting hit first.
Kaylee's bad. Like, Kaylee likes her some brownies.
Now, I'm also picky. Like, if it's not cooked perfectly...
See, I'm not a...
Don't give me the brownie. I don't want it.
She likes... She's always... she likes the edges.
Edges?
Because they're kind of like crispy corners.
I like the corners. I like the corners.
Kaylee loves the crispy corner pieces.
So for Christmas this past year, I made a dessert and brought it to Heidi's house, mm-hmm. right?
I'm here
with
Chris
you heard
Calvin
about it.
Talking about
yep. that. Yep, and so it's pretty much, I took cookie dough, put it at the bottom of a pan, took Oreos, put a layer of Oreos, and then I took peanut butter and kind of put it on top of the mm-hmm. Oreos, and then I just cooked
have
it.
You had, this is like the worst
and
podcast ever.
You put brownie mix on top, bake it.
This is the worst podcast we've ever done.
Unbeatable. I think it's one of the better ones.
This is going to be the worst. I mean, we're literally on a fitness podcast.
It's okay. It's all right.
Freaking cookies. Have you had the Crave cookie thing yet?
The what?
The Crave one?
I have not. I've been hearing the hype about it, though.
Like, better than Crumble?
Some people are saying it's better.
Better? Oh, shit.
But to me, crumble cookies also hit or miss. It's like, if they have good flavors that week, it's good. If they don't have good flavors,
I remember Kaylee talking about it, and like, cause I've had a couple and they're good, but like she was saying, there's some, like, she bought one time that on the surface it seemed like it would be good, some that she really enjoy. She's like, it's not worth it.
What's that Biscoff, is that what they're called?
The what?
Those crackers, Biscoff crackers.
Yeah, is that the one supposed to like go with coffee?
Coffee whatever? And stuff, yeah.
So yeah, they like had airplanes.
One made out of that.
They had a cookie made out of that?
Cookie, Biscoff, whatever flavor cookie.
Was it on top of the cookie?
So they had one on top, but it was like, I don't even know what flavor it was, what they did with it. So good.
So from Crumble?
Yeah, from Crumble. Mm. But hopefully y'all got something out of this.
Yeah, Oh, by the way, we offer nutrition. If that's something you're interested in.
Like, I know y'all want to
crumble. Do you have a cookie or brownie?
Monday, you need to go ahead and get with Cody and fix that nutrition.
Do you have a cookie or brownie problem? You can reach out to us at Hurricane Nutrition.
Or just text me. I can help you out.
But is that it? It's a wrap of the questions?
We're wrapping it.
All right, that's a wrap. We're back at it. Hopefully, we can get back to a more consistent recording basis. Also, if you haven't seen, because I'll probably put this out today or Friday, Fall Apparel's out.
Fall Apparel.
Halloween/Fall Apparel.
Yep.
I know it's still hot as shit outside.
For sure.
But
a lot of people just thought it was Halloween apparel, but it is also fall apparel.
It is Halloween slash fall
apparel.
It is two things. It's both. So, because it never fails. By the time we actually get the pre-order done and accounts are charged and we purchase this, it'll probably be late September into October, which is about the time frame you start seeing a little change in the weather. It's that early October time frame. You guys will always bitch about not putting in an order.
For
so,
sure.
Yes, it's hot. Yes, there's some cold gear in there, some long sleeve stuff in there, but when it comes in, it's going to be about the time that it's going to happen, and we want to do it this year to where you guys have to be able to wear it throughout the fall season, instead of getting like right in the middle towards the end of fall season
that
like
we
have
wear
done.
For 2 weeks.
Exactly. But we'll talk to you guys next time.
See ya. What I'll find, but I'm sure I can find something.
Well, I guess that's...
We're
going right now. You were talking about how a lot of people liked the last podcast.
I think so, yeah.
My question to you is, where does this... Okay, so real quick, before we even started the podcast,
okay,
we're thinking about doing a nutritional video, which it'll probably come out by the time this... Or right around the same time that this podcast will come out, going to a store and finding some macro-friendly dessert options.
Uh-huh.
And immediately, Kale's like, oh...
We got this.
Yeah. Where does this deep desire of like...
Of like food?
Food in general. Anytime we get on a food discussion,
oh man,
your eyes light up.
It's one of my favorites. I don't know.
One of your favorite topics to jam on, for sure.
I think so. I don't know. I think I generally just love food. I just love, like, I love the act of eating food. I love food.
So you're a foodie. But do you like to cook food?
I like to cook too.
Okay.
I don't mind to cook at all.
Usually people who are very passionate about eating food also like to cook food.
Like to cook? Like,
it's not very often you find one or the other. Not. They don't necessarily like to eat. They don't necessarily. It's not like they don't like to cook and vice versa.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I love barbecuing. Like, I love, like, making, like, little pot. Me and Sydney will make, like, pasta, like, homemade pasta stuff. I don't know. I just like it. I feel like ever since I was little, my dad, like, always made sure we ate all our food,
mm-hmm.
no matter, like, what he cooked, right? And so.
Hungry kids in Africa.
And for sure. And. I know, like, we would always go to Kyoto's as, like, a kid, and for some reason, like... Kyoto's, and I always made it my goal to eat all of my hibachi food from, like, when I was a little kid.
Like, you had the goal to do
it? Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Was it more so... Because you enjoyed food, or was it more so, like, I'm trying to get big?
No. It was just literally, like, I'm going to eat all this food just to impress my dad.
Okay.
Right? And so, I feel like ever since then, this is how it's always been.
I mean, I think about when I was a little bit... younger, some of the food I could put down, and now I think about it, like, there's no way I could eat that kind of food anymore.
I think now it's more like your body is probably like used to eating like that rich food and like all that kind of stuff, but like
I
now
guess.
If you were to eat it, you would fill up in like 2 seconds, you know.
Well, I can recall being younger, I was probably late elementary school at the time, and my dad buying donuts that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, I ate 10
Dude,
glazed donuts.
I don't know. Okay, that's a really good point, because I remember in like middle school and high school, not even high school really, it was more like middle school. Like, we'd go spend the night at somebody's parents' house, and their parent would just go get donuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And dude, we would put away some donuts. Now, you eat like 3 or 4 donuts, and you're done.
Well, for me...
At least for me.
Well, and maybe it's just a different... My palate has changed over the years, especially in the past decade, where I've... gradually worked myself to eating more and more whole food.
Mm-hmm.
compared to when I was younger and eating all takeout and junk food. Now, if I eat a donut, like two or three, I'm kind of like, I'm over it.
You're over it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the word, like so much sugar and grease and taste. Like it tastes great, right? But at the same time, I'm like, it's so overwhelming that I'm getting like palate fatigue just by eating these couple of donuts compared to eating like 10. When you're eating sugar all the time,
yeah,
sugar's not as, right. Yeah, it's not as much of a sensory overload compared to when you eat it. And it's kind of the same thing I told somebody this the other day, because we're talking about, I don't know if it was somebody I was working with nutrition for, or just having a general conversation, and they were talking about how they're having sugar cravings, mm-hmm. especially in the afternoons, and that's what most people have, it's usually at nighttime. Yeah. And fruit is usually a great option to help curb that. I know, but at least for me, when I started eating whole food options, berries didn't really taste that sweet.
Yeah.
Fruit didn't really taste that sweet. It kind of tasted almost blandish. But over the years of consuming whole foods more regularly and less sugar, that berries can kind of curb that.
Sweet for you, right?
Yeah, it can kind of curb that sweet taste for me comparatively if I just, you know, before in the past when I didn't do that.
Yeah, I always found like the longer you go without sweets, the sweeter fruit mm-hmm. tastes.
Did you enjoy the John Giorgetti story?
Maybe. I don't know.
So this was years and years ago. It was probably like 2015 time frame. He'd be able to tell you the story. I remember he went a year of not eating sugar, at least not like, I'm sure, obviously you're having so much, everything's got some sugar to a degree, but you know, he avoided like candy and cakes stuff, right? And things of that nature. And he went a year, and at the year marker, he went to, is it McAllister's that has like the bread pudding or something like that? Some he really enjoyed.
Bread pudding.
And he said he got about halfway through and he pretty much threw up.
Oh, really?
But it was something beforehand that he could down no problem and loved it.
That's crazy. That's kind of crazy. Ah, man, that would make me sad.
That would make you sad?
That would make me sad, man. If I waited a whole year and didn't eat sweets and then went to my favorite dessert place
and
had
get
my
down?
Favorite dessert and had like half of it, I think I'd almost be mad.
If you lose fantasy football this year, that's going to be your punishment.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I could. That would be a tough one.
Well, the thing is, though, you could lie and obviously not. Like, oh, yeah, I'm sticking to it and not really.
No, I mean, that would be something I'd probably just say yes so I don't have to go get spray tanned or some bullshit.
Oh, shit.
I'd rather probably do that than go get spray tanned.
I'd be interested to see that salad's going to go down.
Yeah. Okay, so for all the people listening, what are the two things we have right now for the funny fantasy football punishments? One would be like spray tan.
It kind of coincides with each other. One was a bodybuilding competition that you can't train for. And then two was a spray tan. But if you're going to do a bodybuilding competition, you got to do the spray tan.
You're almost doing both at that point. Okay. That would be hilarious, though.
But the idea being whoever gets last has to go get a spray tan with the darkest spray tan color that you can get.
Yes.
Now, how it's going to work out with Steven, I have no idea.
I don't know about that one. We're going to have to
Call him up like, hey, can a black dude get a spray tan? How does this work?
I bet you still could, though. Because, like, when they do, like,
don't, like, black bodybuilders get spray tans?
Like, they get spray tans. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's definitely a possibility, but the thing is, like, with Steven, it probably wouldn't be as funny.
No, but, I bet he would be, he'd definitely be, I don't know. I always felt like.
I got to talk to Steven about this and see what he would say.
Really? What'd he say?
I don't know. I have to. I need to.
I think, like, when they go to the bodybuilder competition, they almost look like, almost like your wood table right here. Like, they look like more.
It's almost like more of a brown color?
Like, more of a brown color? I don't know. But that would be hilarious.
Okay.